Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our guest Democratic State Representative of Pawtucket, Carlos Tobon. Thank you for joining us, Carlos.
Thank you very much, Ian, Scott, and Professor Moakley.
Details on an agreement for a new home for the Paw Sox have yet to emerge, but if and when an agreement does come out, the deal is expected to face approval by the House of Representatives. Our guest, Carlos Tobon, is among the people who want to keep the Paw Sox in Pawtucket. So if the stadium proposal comes to a vote in the House, Representative Tobon, will there be enough support for it to go forward?
Ian, at this time, what we've gotten from the people in my district and I think around is the fact that there's not enough support. If in fact the deal that they come up with anything close to what they put up before. So right now, I believe that the speaker is doing a great job, as we saw throughout the session, of fielding what it is that the different groups are proposing. But in my case, I'm going to stick to what I've said. And they have a name. It's called the Pawtucket Red Sox. And that's where they should stay. That's where they belong.
Scott, as we know, there's a lot of public opposition to at least the first proposal for moving the Paw Sox to Providence. How do you see the politics of this playing out once it hits the House floor?
I think the representative's right. I think there is a lot of opposition, both obviously in Pawtucket, but also around the state. And I think people want to see what the size of the public subsidy is. Now, there's going to be certain people in Pawtucket who don't want to see the team move under any circumstances. And that's not going to work because the owners, they own the team. If they want to move it somewhere, they have the right to move it. But I think we have to see just what extent the taxpayers are going to be on the hook for this. And that, I think, will determine which way public opinion swings.
Maureen, as Scott says, the details will matter a lot on where this goes. But what is your sense of what political cost lawmakers might pay in favor of a proposal to move the Paw Sox?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a slam dunk if it does come to a vote. I mean, the speaker has said it's not only going to be revenue neutral, but now it's going to be revenue enhancing. But we have to see what that means. The other issue is, I think remains, do we want the stadium there? When you look at what happened in Durham, they converted a lot that was not valuable property. This is a prime piece of real estate with some real problems in terms of runoff in a park. So it's getting more complicated, and it will be very interesting to see how strongly the speaker does prevail.
Cranston City Councilors spent a few hours questioning Mayor Alan Fung about a critical state police report earlier this week. Fung says he deserves some credit for asking for the state police probe in the first place, but some residents and councilors say their trust in Fung has been shaken. To put things into a broader context, Maureen, are these problems highlighted in the state police report unique to Cranston, or are they fairly common in other Rhode Island communities as well?
Look, we're talking about right now. What this reminds me of, after looking over that report, it's like a 1940s film noir about this extent of corruption, this extent of favoritism, factionalism, and really political extortion. I don't know if it still goes on in other municipalities in Rhode Island. I would doubt it. But I think this is very, very serious. And I think the mayor has a lot to answer for. And in my own opinion, I think he is in serious trouble.
Carlos Tobon, what's your sense of how common that these problems that have been shown in Cranston are in other Rhode Island communities, including your home of Pawtucket?
I believe as human beings, we're you know, there's always that possibility. But I have the utmost respect and the full faith and confidence in all of our police departments in Rhode Island. Pawtucket has done a phenomenal job under the current leadership. And I believe that one thing that Pawtucket did, and it's serving them well now, is that in 2011, 2012, when Tony Pyrus came in as director of administration, the mayor delegated that role of public safety director to him. So that allowed the mayor to focus on being an executive and not have to get overly involved in one particular area, which I think proves or serves him very well today.
And Scott, what would you say on how common these kind of Cranston issues are or have been in other Rhode Island cities and towns?
Oh, we've seen a lot of this over the years, quite a bit of it. I mean, look at Providence, just a quick look between the Peter Gilbert mess under then-Mayor Joe Paolino to the really serious problems when Barney Prignano was chief under former Mayor Buddy Cianci. So this isn't really new. I think part of this is political. Obviously, the mayor made some bad judgments, did not act decisively enough. But at this point, it seems like the Democrats are trying to keep this going, to stick some gum to Alan Fung's shoe. He wants to put it behind him. I think the major and most crucial aspect here is how well the police department performs in the next 18 months in the run-up to the next election. You were there at the press conference, Ian, and it looked like Mayor Fung pretty much denounced that he's running for re-election. So the voters are going to be the ultimate judge of all this.
Governor Gina Raimondo has kept up a busy schedule over the summer, unveiling a steady stream of new initiatives. One of the latest involves plans by the Washington-based Brookings Institution to develop an economic strategy for Rodan. Scott, we could fill a couple of bookcases with the economic studies and reports that have been done for the Ocean State over the years. Will this be any different in your view?
Well, I hope so. But, you know, you're right, Ian. If Rhode Island was a shelf, it would be groaning under the weight of all the reports that have collected dust for many, many years in this state, going back at least till I first started covering Rhode Island government back in 1984 with the Greenhouse Compact. And I think that one of the problems here is simply that we try to reinvent the wheel, you know, every 2 years or so with a new study, when obviously we have some of the same problems we've always had, loss of manufacturing, et cetera, et cetera. We need to consolidate some government services. We have way too many boards and commissions and separate pension systems and water facilities. So I'm wondering if there's a way that we could actually take some action this time rather than just have a nice press conference and everybody say it's fine.
Maureen, the Brookings Institution is highly respected and Governor Raimondo seems to be expecting something significant here. What do you expect?
I expect that I'm relieved that this is private money. So it's private money if they want to spend it. But I tend to agree with Scotty.
Private money to pay for the study.
Yeah. Right. So the point is that if we keep on the track of job training, of matching the jobs with the education that's needed to fill them, with budget money for education, regulatory relief, and in, you know, tax incentives that make sense, I think we're on the right track. Surely this can't do any harm. But I think this is one of the less significant initiatives of the governor's administration. But I think she's doing a lot of other things, particularly in the administrative branch, that are very positive.
Carlos Taban, your community of Pawtucket has the more prosperous Oak Hill section as well as some more needy sections. Do you think this economic strategy being developed by Brookings will help to elevate a community like Pawtucket?
I think that the governor is taking an approach of over precaution. But if we look at the monumental year that we had this year in the session, where we have one thing in common with the House and the governor, we're pro-business, pro-jobs, and that's the budget we delivered this year. She aimed for the stars and she got the moon. And it's not her. The people of Rhode Island did. We passed the budget in 3 hours that was unanimous. And this hasn't happened in decades. She has not vetoed a single bill thus far. We've seen the relationship that they has unfolded between the speaker and the governor. So some of the positions he took last year when he took the helm, you know, 2 months before the session ended, gave us some of the revenues that we saw in April that helped us avoid the cuts that were ensuing. We can only expect that or better in the year to come.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Maureen.
Thank you.
Scott.
Great to be here.
And State Representative Carlos Taban of Pawtucket.
Thank you. Thank you, listeners of Rhode Island.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.